Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Craig Doyle, and welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Here is how the race was won.
35 years since we've had a British Premier Class winner. It was Barry Sheen then. It is Cal Crutchlow now. Number 35, after 35 years of drought, we have Cal Crutchlow, the winner of the Czech Grand Prix. In the finest style possible, it will be Valentino Rossi coming home for second place. That's a great ride and great judgment for him with hard tyres. But Marc Márquez is once again the master of damage limitation.
Coming up, the views of Neil Hodgson, James Toseland and all the protagonists from race day. But first, what did Julian Ryder and Keith Ewan make of the racing?
Jules, I don't know about you, mate, but I'm absolutely knackered and ecstatic in equal measures. Fantastic day.
Completely, Keith. Ecstatic, out on my feet, exhausted, but I know you've been around racing a long time, all your professional life, all your adult life, you've been a motorcycle racer. I started in 1980 in the motorcycle press. So I saw the last couple of Barry Sheen's wins, really, as a journo. But I've been waiting most of my professional life to see what happened today.
I'll tell you what, I feel really happy to have witnessed it alongside you. We've worked together a lot.
A long time.
And it just feels like it's come good. We've got the Olympics that's going nuts at the moment. Everybody's shouting and screaming on all the news channels in the UK about how well our Olympians are doing. And here we are now. I just hope that we get the same kind of press and coverage for what's happened here in the Czech Republic. Three Brits on the podium. Okay, not so unusual perhaps, but McPhee came out of the box to take that Moto3 win. Then we had a third place from Sam Lowes after he had to work hard to get back into contention.
A very, very good ride from Sam after the last couple of rounds.
And then, out of the box comes Cal Crutchlow and does another Crutchlow. He's so, you know, that guy sometimes, he confounds me. He can be the most awkward, tricky character to deal with. He's liked by most people in the paddock that know him properly because he is, underneath it all, he's a soft old fella.
As we know, he's a lovely bloke underneath. But I think he's one of those sportsmen who has to work himself up a bit, you know, give himself a touch
like
of
Foggy.
Touch of the Fogarty's. Yeah. That's exactly where I was going.
And I have to say that having seen him since obviously he gave birth.
another record broken.
He seemed, on the Thursday before we went out to Austria, he seemed in such a good mood, so mellowed out. He looked 5 years younger, seemed to be in the right zone. Then Austria didn't go the way he wanted to do. And then we come here. Just goes to show you how much input in motorcycle racing the actual rider, the driver, the pilot has over all the machinery, unlike so many other motorsports.
Exactly. That's what still makes us a sport.
Proper sport.
A proper sport, not a
at a proper track.
I just bumped into a couple of old motocross boys who used to work with Noisy outside the commentary box. They said, "This is like Namur, isn't it? The old Citadel circuit in Belgium, the HQ of motocross." Well, yeah, it is. Bit beery and tatty around the edges and absolutely fabulous.
Great place to get your first ever wins in the case of McPhee and Crutchlow, of course. And sticking with the Premier class, 35 years, that's a long time to have to wait.
Yeah.
Funny that number 35 on Cal Crutchlow, there's some things that are just ordained, aren't there?
You like that sort of
I do
like that sort of serendipity, that sort of symmetry.
And do you know what? I love the fact that Cal Crutchlow kept up the tradition of Cal Crutchlow by calling everyone else wimps.
A bunch of wimps.
Because they didn't go with a hard tyre. He was the only man to go with the hard tyre.
Apart from Loris Baz.
As well on the front. Yes, it was Loris Baz. Indeed, it was. But there are a few others that tried the hard tyre on the rear, and they were the only guys in the end that could finish the race at any kind of pace. Everyone else had destroyed tyres.
So was just in the wobbling home mode.
But everybody expected to have to do the bike swap, to do the flag-to-flag, you know, shuffle down pit lane. But, of course...
You did if you put softs on, for sure.
As it closed down, they could see it wasn't drying enough. So it got later and later. And then it went beyond the sensible call to come down pit lane and make that
Not
change.
Enough time left to get your 30 seconds back.
Which brought Baz and Cal Crutchlow in particular right into play. He did it in Sachsenring, came from nowhere to second place. He's gone one better this week, and... I love the tweet that I saw from Jack Miller, who won in Assen, obviously in not in similar conditions, but near enough. And winner, winner, chicken dinner, welcome to the club. You know, I don't want to seem cocky, but I told you so. So those two are like bookends, aren't they?
They are.
Jack Miller and Cal Crutchlow. Let me move this on just a strange piece here. We've got Lorenzo and Dovizioso, who are signed up Ducati men for next year, both having tantrums in the paddock, in pit lane, in the middle of the race with their crews, because... they've not got what they want, or it's not going how they want. I've never seen anything like it. We're in the middle of a MotoGP race, the most important part of the season, and there's two guys having an argument with their crews because of whatever it was, set-up tyres.
One of whom I would have believed it of, and the other, Andrea Dovizioso, who I was genuinely shocked by.
Diva-like, must be very worrying for Ducati. I don't know what people thought at home about that situation, but I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Snap. Absolutely. My jaw was on the floor at that point.
Other matter has to be Andrea Iannone, who is known as the maniac, but that front tyre, he couldn't possibly have known that his front tyre was in the shape it was in. I've never, ever, in all my life, ever seen a front motorcycle tyre in such a state.
It had lost all the tread rubber from the centre, peeled away.
Right to the carcass.
Oh, yeah, gone. All of the tread rubber down to the carcass, but the shoulders were left.
Not quite. There were great chunks out of them. I saw the tyre. So it must, not only must it have gone out of balance, not only must it have been making him weave in a straight line, not only on the brakes in the centre part of the tyre, I can't imagine what it felt like. Incredible. It should have exploded. It should have sent him up the street. The question I'm getting to, of course, is race direction will have seen. We saw the bits fly off of it all in one go.
Down at turn one when he hit the brakes.
When it delaminated and completely flicked it all into the face of Rossi et al., I'm surprised he didn't get a black and orange flag.
And as soon as we saw the close-up of the tyre, the slow-mo, which was utterly explicit about the damage, I was shocked. I was waiting for that flag, which would have called him into the pits.
But, of course, it was close to the end of the race. It was a call that was going to be difficult to make and take him out of the equation. But at the end of the day, probably safety-wise, I think they'll be thinking about that again.
I was surprised. He got eighth place. I have no idea how. And you, who are a professional motorcycle racer for N years, if you've got no idea.
Very, very strange indeed. One other thing that we should mention before we
before
we go home. No, McPhee's brilliant, of course. Sam Lowe's brilliant. Cal Crutchlow, exceptional. Rory Skinner, fourth place in the Red Bull Rookies. At the end of the day, while all of this euphoria is going on around the paddock, and the place is alive with excitement tonight. Yeah. It's incredible.
I think he got eighth yesterday and fourth, and he was in the leading group today. It wasn't a matter of in the group fighting for lowers. He was right up the sharp end, the young Scotsman.
I think we've enjoyed this week, and I think that's about it, mate.
But I cannot imagine enjoying a race day more.
Let's recap on what happened across the three classes. In MotoGP, Cal Crutchlow, a brilliant strategy, a good tyre choice, a fine race, and a long-awaited victory. Good on you, Cal. A first chink in championship leader Johan Zarco's armour, perhaps. He finished 11th. Folger got the win, Rins in second, but Sam Lowe's gained points on the reigning champion. Well done, Sam. And we had the most wonderful start to this race day with John McPhee winning the Moto3 race. Not a dry bit of tarmac in sight and not a dry eye in Scotland. No doubt about that. And I'm delighted to say the Grand Prix winner, John McPhee, joins us now in checkered flag. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a Grand Prix winner. Give him a round of applause. My words, what a day. Let's talk about your own personal success first, John. It's been a couple of hours. Has it sunk in yet?
Not yet. You know, watching that back there, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. I'm absolutely delighted. It's the dream. You know, that's what we've been. That's what we've been working towards, and didn't really see it coming the last few races, but we managed to pull it together, and absolutely delighted.
What was nice was it wasn't just the wet, was it this time? You know, yesterday in qualifying, you were less than a second 0.7 off from pole position.
Yeah.
And then this morning, warm-up quickest. Did you know it was on after the warm-up?
Yeah, you know, after after yesterday, we really brought things together. And I need to say a big thanks to Mahindra and Peugeot because they've developed race by race. It's been coming better. You know, the chassis is absolutely brilliant. The gearbox is working. Yeah, we're a bit down on horsepower, but then I was at the hotel last night, seen the forecast for today, and seen there's rain in there, and it's all right. We have a good crack
licking
at this.
Your lips. We'll talk about the race itself, and we'll dip into the detail a little bit later on. But just talk to me just about the emotion, because it was such a tense end to the race. We're going, come on, John, finish the job. When you crossed the line, how did it feel?
I honestly can't explain it. I honestly can't explain it. James,
when was the last time you won a race?
2010 was the last time I won a race. I won plenty, you know. I beat Hodgie all the time when we're training and all these kind of things. But
that's nothing to celebrate.
But it's interesting, you immediately, and a lot of riders do this, sportsmen across all sports, when they get that win, they immediately think of their families and all the hard work put in and all the money that was being put into success. And I guess you were thinking the same, were you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I came across the line and the first thing I thought about was my mum and dad, Peter Ball from the Racing Stays Foundation and Mark Keane. They're the ones that believed in me. They've been with me race after race, and I went and sat in the truck after the race. I was so happy, just sat down, you know, the tears just started running. I was just can't explain it.
Well, it's massive in Scotland, you know, the likes of Niall McKenzie and the late Steve Hislop, bless him, you know, and to join those kind of names. And Scott, you know, motorcycling in Scotland is so big. You saw Carolyn and James coming, they drove all the way down from nearly Aberdeen to come and support the British riders in the last race in A1 ring. So, you know, look at that. I mean, what was that? What was going through your head there?
Oh, just absolutely amazing. You know, even the likes of Bradley Smith, he's been somebody that's helped me from start to finish, and he's been with me week in, week out. And we got to Austria last week, and he's still doing track walks with me and explaining how things are going. And to see these guys happy for me as well is a dream come true.
What did Bradley say to you?
I think he was just as excited as I was. You know, he was just screaming and hands in the air and cheering for me. It was really good to see. It made the day.
Let's talk about MotoGP, because another amazing race and a great victory for Cal Crutchlow. And I guess, you know, you relate to what he's gone through. He's struggled at times. It's been difficult for him to get that win. Is sensational. It's such a relief as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, I mean, people don't know what you go through, but with these guys, it's a different game altogether, because they are the best in the world, you know. And When something's not quite there and you're chasing these 10s here and there, it must be difficult for them. I can only think to myself, but for Cal to get the win today is absolutely brilliant. He really deserves it.
Let's talk about his bravery in the tyre choice. He was one of only three riders who went for hard rears, actually hard front and rear, the only one to do that. Did you know that? Did you think it was the right call?
I didn't know he had done it, but I seen he definitely had something there. You know, he was gapping these guys by nearly a second per sector, never mind a lap. And these last few laps there, he came in really strong, and we seen him when he got to the lead, he just cleared off. So, good strategy, good plan, and it paid off. Well done to Cal.
It was interesting to listen to Marc Marquez afterwards when he said, I knew Cal was on the hard front and back, I knew Rossi was in the hard rear, and there's only so much he could do. But as the laps went on, going into the pits was no longer an option. Actually, I think it was Bradley perhaps who only went in, who intentionally went into the pits to change tyres. So they knew what was ahead of them, and they were kind of helpless. They just had to hope, I guess, the track did them a favour. Was that the case?
Yeah, well, we see time after time, especially with these guys, they've got the intermediate tyre there, and it's a bit of a gamble. You know, one lap too late is normally the way it goes for most people, and it means winning or losing the race. And if they can get in just that little bit early and gain the rhythm with the intermediate tyres, it tends to pay off. But the track seems to take a long time to dry out today, and unfortunately it didn't pay off for these guys.
We didn't necessarily think we'd be shouting for Cal for the victory. We thought it might have been Scott, because he had a good morning and a good start to the race, JT.
Yeah, well, I think that was what just John said there. It didn't really dry up until the cut-off point, where the soft tyre all of a sudden dropped off a cliff, didn't it? And there's about seven or eight laps to go. All of a sudden, the soft front tyres started to fall apart and fell to bits, and then it was too late to actually change them. But at this point in the race, Scott looks so strong. The Ducatis look so strong. In those wet conditions, the Ducatis look so just a cut above the rest, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had my money on Scott to get the win there. He was looking so strong, but like you say, when the front tyre went off, there was nothing he could do about it.
This is when he started to have problems. Obviously, Cal and Hector Barber looked like he was going to be a race winner at some point. And this was the interesting thing. As the track kind of dried up, the hard front tyres that people chose, especially Cal, it was amazing the difference. Look, Scott couldn't even turn it in there. Hector Barber got past, but in the end, Hector Barber even lost so much time. Even look at the distance that Marc Marquez is behind. But Marc Marquez was also on the soft front tyre, and that's to hold out for the Honda.
Yeah, it looked a little bit better. I mean, I don't know with these bikes how they work, but I've seen Ian Oni's front tyre when he came in there and it was completely destroyed. I don't know. I don't even know how he was still riding with it. So I imagine Scott's must have been exactly the same. And yeah, for whatever reason, the Honda doesn't seem to push the front so much.
Yeah, you could see some of the riders looking for a little bit of damp on the track somewhere just to try and get a bit. But that is Andrea Iannone's front tyre. It's absolutely destroyed. And that's a danger, not just for him, but for everyone else out there. Why was he not called in? Why was he not flagged?
Well, I mean, it's down to his decision. You could tell that he knew something was going wrong. He was going wide in most corners. But he could still finish the race, and obviously he did do. But if that's close to actually, you know, maybe kind of puncturing at that point, and that's dangerous. I had that actually in Monza one time, but Monza's so fast in a straight line. But I've never seen that on a front tyre to have that kind of damage.
Should the decision not be taken out of his hands there? Because he did a full lap on it. Should he not?
That was only one or two laps left to go, wasn't he? So by the time I think everybody maybe discussed it, you know, he'd come across the line and finished the race.
Yeah, I mean, pretty scary though, isn't it, to see that, John?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is for him is who makes the call. You know, he obviously feels that the front tire is pushing, but he doesn't know quite how bad it is. And when he's running at the front, he's in the front pack, and the guys aren't really pulling away from him. He's obviously thinking they're having same issues. So as a rider, I mean, the last thing you're going to do is pull in. So it's a hard one to call.
One of the wonderfully entertaining parts of that race was watching Valentino Rossi. We knew he had that hard rear on. We knew he could hold out for all the laps, and started working his way, and his race pace was getting faster and faster. He was the big threat, even from fourth, wasn't he?
He rode an amazing race again. But you know, the great escape again was Marquez, but Valentino Rossi, to go past Marquez and pull those points back on him, go up to second position in the championship. Marquez has actually extended his lead in the championship because Lorenzo didn't score any, but still, you know, Rossi's hanging in there in it. What is he? He is now 53 points behind Marc Marquez. I mean, that's over two race wins, let's remember.
But he's also now second, okay? So he's taken over from Lorenzo. And you know what Rossi's like. When he sees the target, he's a dangerous man, isn't he? And he was so impressive today, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, he was taking another one of these guys that was taking the risk, going off the dry line and passing people on the wet stuff. And that's mega impressive stuff to see.
Yeah, Valentino Rossi now second in the championship. I still can't get over what a day we've had. We will celebrate all the riders from Great Britain throughout the course of the day, but let's celebrate a little bit of Italy now, shall we, with Valentino Rossi as we gav.
Valentino, congratulations. Great second place in the end there, because did you worry at the start of the race that maybe the decision, you made the wrong decision going with that harder rear tyre?
I was desperate, not worried, because I say, I did a mistake also today, another time. because when I saw P12 on the board and everybody overtake me from the outside, I say, wow. Also, it was a shame also because I had a good setting from this morning. So I ride the bike well, but I have no grip on the rear. But after restart to recover, you know, at the end it was the right choice, because the other Yamaha with the soft, like Pole and Smith, already in half of the race they were very, very bad. And the second half was funny, coming better and overtake everybody, and you know. I'm very happy to come back on the podium, because the last time was in the victory in Barcelona. And happened a lot of mistakes, a lot of unlucky, and a lot of time also, because it was June, so I start to be very sad, but today I'm happy.
Yeah, every reason to be happy. Okay, you've only chipped 4 points away from Mark's lead. You've closed right with Jorge, though, in the championship. Going to Silverstone next time out, we know what happened there last year.
Yes, but, you know, with Marquez it's difficult because too many mistakes and also some unlucky Mugello, but the point difference is too big. But with Jorge anyway is an important battle for the second place, and now 1 week of rest, and after Silverstone we need to try to be concentrated and try to be strong on the wet but also on the dry.
And just finally, is the British Grand Prix next week? We are celebrating a first British winner for 35 years. I know you two get on really well, Valentino. What do you think about that?
I'm very happy for him, sincerely, because Carl is one of the best guy in the MotoGP, and is one of the most fun, and that I have a better relationship. So I say to him that he deserves it. I'm very happy for him also because he became father, and you know, have one victory in MotoGP is you pass the class. You know, you are a topper class. So I'm very happy for Carl and for all his family.
Yeah, and us as well. Not since Barry Sheen has there been a British.
So 70 something.
81.
81, yeah, okay, so it's quite a long time.
A long time. Valentino, congratulations. Great ride. What up?
Silverstone. Ciao.
35 long years. You heard it from the good doctor himself. When you win a Grand Prix, you step up a level. That's what you did today, John McPhee. You know what it feels like for Cal Crutchlow. It's a special, special moment, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I can only think again of how happy I am right now, and I imagine Cal's exactly the same. It's I can't even put it into words.
Well, what a week he's had. You know, not only a race win, but he said himself the birth of his daughter Willow. I mean, I bet Lucy's beside us. I bet she's still crying now. And you know, there's not many times in life where this would be bettered. But the birth of his daughter, it was nice of him to say, but incredible week he's had.
Let's talk about Valentino Rossi there. Real chipper, OK? The fact he's taken over his teammate in the championship standings will have an awful lot to do with that, no doubt about it, you know. He loves that, and we know what happened between the two of them last year. That means a lot to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, he's 14 points behind him, wasn't he, coming into this weekend. Now he's 10 points ahead, and it just shows you just how the championship can turn on its head. You know, both championship leaders in Moto3 and Moto2 lost a lot of points today in the championship, but Marquez actually extended it, but Rossi really had a big boost to his confidence before Silverstone.
Jorge Lorenzo, really, really bizarre week because Friday, Saturday, looking good. The man to be consistent pace. Obviously, Mark did the job in qualifying. But today, I mean, his head was just not at the races. Two stops, changed bikes twice, John. What was going on there, do you think?
Again, I think it's one of them, like I said before, with the coming in for the intermediate tyres. You can win or lose races. And obviously, I don't know exactly what was going on there, but it looked to me as if he came in for the intermediates and then realised, actually, you know what, the track's still far too wet. And I was watching the sector times, and, I mean, all the guys that went for intermediates, they were 16, 17 seconds a lap slower every single lap, and there was nothing they could do about it.
And unbeknown to Lorenzo, that particular lap before, he was actually quicker than the leader. And then he came in to change the tyres because he didn't know that at that point. And that's why the team was so frustrated with him. They couldn't believe all of a sudden he was catching him when he came in to change it.
There hasn't been many better days than this for British motorcycling, has there?
Oh, maybe over 50 years. We're talking about Barry Sheen, Chaz, and you know, many, many years. I mean, I wasn't even one since we had a British winner 35 years ago. But you know, I actually called that there'd be a British winner in all three classes today, because I wasn't far off. But you know, it was a great start from John and then Cal, but and Sam, a great podium as well.
A very good podium for Marc Marquez as well. He had a funny old weekend, a few spills, quite a few thrills to finish third. Let's hear from him now.
Marc, congratulations on that third place. At one point, it looked like, yeah, it was definitely going to be a third. Then we weren't so sure in the middle part of the race. How did you experience it out there on the track as the conditions started to dry up?
Yeah, honestly, I expect that start to dry up even earlier. For that reason, I choose soft. I choose the soft tires, and this more or less in the last laps I was struggling more, but was my mistake. I expect a flag-to-flag race, and then I was pushing a lot on the beginning with the soft tires for try to change the tires to slick. But I saw that the track was too wet, and then I tried to manage. I know that Cal was with hard, Valentino with the hard rear. They overtake me. I saw that I was struggling a lot, and then the maximum for the championship was the 16 points, and I'm very happy, no? Because we increase a lot the advantage with Jorge, and we lose only 4 points with Valentino.
And the important thing is you're bringing the bike home every single weekend. You're scoring those important points. As you say, today Valentino only took a few. Jorge didn't score. So it's so important for the championship. And this new mentality of yours, do you have to repeat it to yourself at the start of every race?
Yeah, honestly, it's hard. It's hard, eh? Because today I was there. I tried to take the risk to go with hard, but I say I prefer to have the soft. Have some movement and some warnings. Maybe with the hard you can be faster, but then you can lose the front really quick. So it's some mentality that at the moment works, so I will try to keep this mentality during all the season. But the important thing also is that in dry conditions, wet conditions, mixed flag to flag, I feel strong, we are constant, so we must to keep like this.
You know, when you look at the leaders across the three classes, for all of them, it's not about race wins. It's just about chipping away, bagging points every round, making it just really difficult to try and track them down. Although Johann Zarco had a bit of a blip today. More of that a little bit later on in Checkered Flag. But let's focus on the MotoGP Championship after round 11. Marc Marquez, a healthy old lead, but over Valentino Rossi, who swapped places with Jorge Lorenzo. Rossi 53 points behind the Spaniard, Lorenzo 63 behind Marc Marquez. And Cal Crutchlow moves up into 10th place there. Well done, Cal. A race winner today, of course. Sensational performance from him. Let's hear from him now.
Cal, I don't know how many times I've interviewed you over the years and the nearly moments, the times you've been there. You should have possibly been on the top step before now, but finally, after 35 years, we have a British winner in MotoGP. And it's yourself on top there, Cal. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. I think, you know, as I said live on TV earlier, I think the feeling I thought was going to be a little different than what it is. I had the best feeling in the world a couple of weeks ago. Don't get me wrong, I haven't won a race for many, many years, so 6 or 7 years, it's been a long time. I'm pleased to be the British rider that's done it. One, after all the stick I've got, everyone's better than me, blah, 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 the other riders. We did it, they didn't, it's as simple as that. I'm pleased. That's not being cocky or arrogant, that's the way it is, and I'm so pleased with my team. Yesterday I wrecked a bike, and I mean...
We saw it.
The bike went 6.5 meters in the air. There was not one conceivable part left. Maybe the engine, we don't know. And they were up till midnight. So to repair them with that today is something really, really special. I struggled at the start of the race. I couldn't get the heat into the tyre. Me and Valet were riding around together. Obviously, I had the harder front as well, which was a little bit more dangerous because you need the front around here. But once I got the heat into the tyre and I was able to push, I was playing with them, honestly. I just had so much grip. I was playing with them. I could ride across gaps whenever I needed to. And the only moment I thought was going to be a little fun was with Hector. But in the end, I just went past him and just continued to ride my own pace. The worst thing in the race was Lucio hanging over the pit wall telling me to slow down. But when you're in a rhythm and you're just riding around, you don't need told. But no, I have a lot of people to thank for this. You know, people that... When I first started in my career, backed me and continued to back me even though I had bad results. Sure, we've had some crashes this year, but I didn't crash today and I won the race.
We will hear from his boss, Lucio Cecchinillo, a little bit later on. I'm glad Cal was relaxed. We weren't. We were biting our nails right down. It was terrifying, those last few laps. But, you know, in the Olympics, when Team GB win loads and loads of medals, they call it Super Saturday. We had a stupendous Sunday in the world of motorbike racing today. And the standard was set by John McPhee, winning at Moto3, doing it so well in awful conditions from Jorge Martin and the young Italian Gi Antonio, or something like that. Who cares? I only care about John McPhee at the moment. If you miss the race, well, don't worry about it. This is what happens.
But it's John McPhee as he comes to the end of the lap. Surely John McPhee has done it all right. One more corner for the Scotsman. John McPhee from the third row of the grid has come through to win the Moto3 Grand Prix of the Czech Republic. Over the line he goes. What a fantastic win in the rain.
I can undo my fingers now, can't I?
I'm undoing my legs.
Broke my knuckles.
Ben McPhee, seven.
Martin, Gi Antonio, oh. That's your top three.
Do you enjoy watching that, Johnny?
It's still not sunk in yet. I don't even know what to say. You know, absolutely delighted. And the moment was, the scene there was a little bit bigger than it felt at the time. But now it's brilliant to see.
When we were watching you kind of bringing home, you were behind Binder for a while there, and we felt, does he need to take Binder? Because we know Paui was on the prowl as well and the pace was up. And what were you thinking at the stage? Were you happy just to sit behind the South African?
You know, Binder was running really strong, and I was genuinely disappointed when he crashed, because he deserved to be at least on the podium today. But
No, you weren't.
No, I genuinely was. He was riding really well, and I was...
John,
I was,
you need to retire from motorcycle racing if he was genuinely upset when you saw Brad Binder crash. I like Brad Binder. He's a good friend of mine. I wasn't upset because I saw he was okay. And my mate, John McPhee, was leading the Grand Prix. So
We did kind of cheer, John. Are you really telling me you were upset?
Well, you know, I was kind of thinking, oh, that's a shame because Brad was riding really well, and I must have got about two corners later. It's like, you know what? Actually, I'm leading here, so it took a little minute to sink in. But now, brilliant feeling. We had to keep calm after Brad went down. I had to try and find my own rhythm, and following him at the start of the race seemed the easy thing to do, and just understand where we were with the grip levels, with more rain coming down, and at the end there I felt really strong.
What was your next immediate concern when Brad was out of the way? Were you thinking about Powie?
Not really, to be honest. I wasn't racing, you know. I was on my own. I was doing my own thing. I had my lap time on my screen. I had plus and minus, and I was just keeping an eye on that, and I knew if I could keep a consistent rhythm, if Powie caught me, then I would try and race. But at that time it was more like qualifying or practice, just finding a good rhythm and keeping a good flow going. And you know, it paid off. We obviously had the moment there when the rain came in, but apart from that, it was more or less smooth.
This is what happened in Moto2.
But no doubt about it, Jonas Folger comes to the line, sneaks a nice short shift, looks for a wheelie, yanks it on air, finishes as classy as he did to win it. It is Folger from Alex Rins who comes through now with a slightly less enthusiastic wheelie, and Sam Lyons of Great Britain comes through in third place to take good points.
Well, we've moved down into the paddock area for very good reason. We're desperately searching for Sam Lowes. He said he'd be here, but he has been dragged from pillar to post. Also, they have these press conferences they have to do after these races, and they can go on forever and ever. And, of course, all the written press wanting to talk to him too. It's been such a brilliant, brilliant day for British motorbike racing. All the three guys, John McPhee, Sam Lowes, and, of course, Cal Crutchlow, will be very, very popular with the written and, of course, the broadcast media today. But let's talk about Sam Lowes and just how he rode today, because it was really important. He's bagged some serious points, particularly what happened to Zarco finishing 11th as well. He had to take advantage.
It was important. I spent a little bit of time with him during the Moto3 race. I popped to see him, and it's rare that you see Sam that nervous. The last two wet races he crashed in. In fact, he said to me, "Do you know what, Oggy? I've never even finished a race in the wet on a Moto2 bike." So, and he's Sam being Sam, always asks you your opinion. He very rarely listens, and he's like, "What should I do? What should I do?" And I'm like, "Well, I said, you're on the front row of the grid. If you get a good start," I said, "just do nothing for 10 laps. Just stay there. Don't try and attack anybody." And actually, I don't know if he listened to me, but it actually looked like he did that. He was quite calm at the first part of the race, and then he started just to pick his pace up, and he rode the perfect race. It was a stunning result.
He seemed to have a little moment around the halfway mark, was perhaps a little clip around the chop saying, "OK, Sam, take your medicine. Third is OK here. And with the championship, third's not bad either." Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, the goal was the podium as well. So that's exactly what happened. Yeah, you have a bit of a slide, a bit of a moment, and at that point, you look at your pit board. He'd already pulled well away from fourth place, and you think, "Do you know what? I'll take this. A podium today will do." In those conditions, I can't emphasise enough how easy it is to end up on your backside. It's so easy to make a mistake. We saw a lot of crashes throughout the day. So, a third will do. And the fact that, like you touched on, Zarco having such a bad day, really, it sort of reopened the championship, hasn't it, for everyone? They've now, you know, you've a chance, really. Certainly Rins has.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, 44 points for Sam, that's not insurmountable. He could get there, but he had to get himself on the podium. He had to get himself in third. And Takanaki Agami, actually riding quite well at this stage, was the man he had to pip.
Yeah, and this was the point in the race when he started just to move forward a little bit, and it was important to get in front of Taka, and then it was the next bit when he got on the back of the leading two that they managed to pull away from fourth, and that's what really got him the podium.
Yeah, I mean, 44 points when you consider there's a lot of rain possibly between now and then. We got a couple of European rounds. I mean, he'll be looking for a bit of rain in Silverstone again, do you think? Because Zarco just didn't seem to like it today. He didn't seem to enjoy it.
I was slightly concerned. He's been testing the MotoGP bike. He's testing it actually on Wednesday in Misano. And I didn't know if that started to affect him a little bit. Not that he would never give up on Moto2, but you know what Sam's like? His attention span, he can only focus on one thing at a time. So the MotoGP test he has done, they've gone really well for him. And I think he's started then now to sort of focus and look towards MotoGP. Getting a result like this, forgetting about the two previous bad results, I think he's back on track. And like you say, it's 44 points. Is it possible? Well, like you say, Silverstone next. He got pole position there last year. If you can bag a win there, then you're on your way, aren't you?
And he is the kind of guy who is hugely motivated by a home crowd as well. A little spur
him on. He loves it, doesn't he? He does, though. He genuinely loves it. He's always thanking the fans. And
that's why we like him so much. That's why we love watching him race. That's why we like having him around the place.
could you believe what happened here today? It started with John McPhee winning the Moto3 race in awful conditions. Sam Lowes making the podium, third place in Moto2. And then after 35 years, a British rider winning a MotoGP race. Well done, Cal Crutchlow. It has just been so special for all of us, for all of you at home, but in particular for his boss, Lucio. Lucio, well done.
Thank you.
Your thoughts, your emotions, please.
Yeah. Sorry, first of all, because I still stink with the champagne, but it's a really, really a great day for all of us. He did an incredible race, and he was really brave as well to pick up the hard rain compound. He already, when he stayed in the motorhome, already said, "I want the hard rain compound." We decided to go for it, and that was a great choice.
Just a reminder to all of you at home, Cal was the only one to run hard fronts and rears. Two other riders ran hard rears. The weather really, really bad at that stage, but it felt like it might clear up. Was it solely his choice, only his choice to do that?
He asked for first, and we fully support, but of course we also went deep to look on the web, on the weather condition, and we saw clearly that the rain would stop, so we said, okay, go for it.
Was there any stage you thought, oh, maybe not a good idea? Were you worried?
Yes, at the beginning, my crew chief, after two laps, seeing Cal struggling, you know, going back on up to the 15th position, he said, Lucio, maybe it was not the right choice. But I was confident because I said, we still have 18 laps to go. And we know, as a racer, we know that this track is getting dry quite quick, and there was a great choice.
Lucio, you know what it's like to win a Grand Prix, seven victories in the lightweight class yourself. What does it mean to a rider, that first victory? What can it start?
I cannot imagine what means win a MotoGP race because I just won 125 category. So for Cal, it should be an unbelievable day, and he really deserves because he's a great rider and he work very, very hard every day for it.
Talk to us about Cal the man. You see him more than any of us, and we see him when he has his game face on, and I'm okay with that. I respect sportsmen when they don't want to talk. That's okay, they've got a big job in hand. What's he like after a race in the bar, in the motorhome?
He's really like every rider, he has a tough personality, you know, and this is very important because he really nice person and a smooth person on the hospitality and normal life, and when he's concentrated to do his daily duties, he's really, really concentrated. Doesn't want to get disturbed, to want to be disturbed, and that we fully respect.
Have you ever run those hard tires in a rain? A race distance or anything, any testing with those hard tires at all?
No, not at all. And that was the biggest question mark because in reality we never tested, never tested in any racetrack this hard compound. But after the warm-up, he said that he started to feel a little bit movement in the front and he started to already have some grain in the front tire. He said, I will go for the hard compound.
So the warm-up was with the soft front?
Correct.
And obviously the race...
With the medium. And then, yes, that today was the soft, yeah.
This result today, where does it go in your league of most successful days as team manager?
Sorry, I don't...
In the league of your most successful in MotoGP. Is it in the top three yourself? Your memories?
Yeah. My memories...
Too many.
Too many. No.
Too many.
No. It was a fantastic day, and we still have many, many memories. But definitely, this is the best ever feeling in my life because this is exactly 30 years that I'm involved in motorcycle racing, 20 years with my team, and 10 years in MotoGP, and I couldn't ask a better anniversary celebration.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how about for your team? Because you're not one of the biggest teams in the paddock. You've got lots of good sponsors, but some smaller sponsors. And I know you work endlessly. It's constant, literally every year, trying to make the numbers add up so you can continue to running. For the timing for you, how important is this?
It's very, very important because, of course, especially right now, because we are now started to discuss about the future and we started negotiating with our sponsor. And it's very, very important for all of us because, as you said, every year is getting tougher to run a MotoGP team. We have big, very a lot of expenses, but let's say that thanks to the collaboration of many companies and Dorna and Honda, we can survive.
We're really enjoying those pictures of you guys celebrating, but what does it mean to you bringing Cal to his home race as a MotoGP winner?
it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling for me, but also, I mean, it's very nice, of course, because he will give a lot of more motivation to the British community fan to come to see British rider, to support British rider. So please come to support British rider at the next race in Silverstone, and that I'm sure that will be another great race for all British rider. And in any case, for let's say, I would like to say that it's special what happened also for us, because seems like when we have a dream, if you don't give up, sometimes you can realize your dream.
Yeah, you don't have to wait long. This is how it all looks on BT Sport. Free practice, qualifying and race day, Sunday the 4th of September. But I tell you what, do what we're going to do. We're going to go out for a little orange juice and reflect on what's been a wonderful day for British motorbike racing. From all of us here in Bruno, thanks for joining us and goodbye. Bye-bye. Best of British.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.